News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we are going to go to the phones right now. I've got a friend calling in who's going to spend a little time with us, Brian Taylor. Brian Taylor is a friend of mine. We met when we both served in the Alabama State Senate together. We actually met briefly before that when he was a senior advisor to then-Governor Riley. Then he served with me in the Alabama Senate. Then he went back and served as a legal counsel, a senior legal counsel for Governor Ivey. He is back in private practice now, but what is also not always known about Brian is that he is also a field grade JAG officer, has served in Iraq, and I'm proud to call him friend. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Phil. Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, you too, man. Hey, listen, you and I are going to talk about, I mean, you got any number of, you know, nuances to your resume that could go all different directions, but today we're going to focus on the military thing. So, you know, right now I've got my listening audience has a very high percentage of defense contractors, DOD employees, a whole bunch of green suiters working at Redstone Arsenal over at Anniston Depot. And so wanted to get your perspective for a minute. First of all, are there any updates, anything new about the world of military vaccine mandates right now that is coming out, like, that may not be in the news even? Did I lose Brian? Copper? Ah, we lost Brian. All right, we'll get him back on. So here's the deal. I'll just tell you while we're waiting to get Brian back on the phone. So, and Copper, just chime in and
hey,
highlight
sorry,
his name.
I think I'm back. Sorry about that, Phil.
Oh, okay. All right, Brian. I don't know what you heard about my setup for you, but I'm trying to get with you on your military perspective as a JAG officer on what's happening in the world of vaccine mandates for the military and the DOD employees. Anything new in that world before I get into specific questions or anything
sure,
to update
sure.
the audience on?
Yeah, there has been a new development actually out of Pensacola. U.S. District Judge down there yesterday, I believe, in a case that was brought by Sidney Powell. You'll remember Sidney Powell was a lawyer for President Trump during the challenge to the election. And her nonprofit brought a case on behalf of a number of service members nationwide. And, you know, in that particular case, the judge said that they were unlikely to be able to prove their argument that the FDA had violated regulations in approving the vaccine, and therefore the court said that it would not issue a preliminary injunction against the Department of Defense at this time. So that was definitely a win for the Department of Defense yesterday. But as you know, Phil, it's just a question of a preliminary injunction now. They can continue to continue on with the case, introduce evidence, and it'll be interesting to follow that and see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it sure will. And that's one of many cases. I know we have another case down in the Florida Panhandle that's it's a group of service members that filed suit on in regards to their religious exemptions being denied. We've also had a group of Navy SEALs that have filed one out in California, I believe, similar circumstances. Well, let me ask you about that, though, because one of the things that we're hearing is that almost across the board, the military has, by and large, not been granting requests for exemptions for religious accommodation and often not for medical accommodation. What are you seeing in that regard?
Well, I think it's just a question of there's a culture, there's a push down in the military. You don't ask questions, you follow orders. People want to get promoted. And so at the more senior ranks, you know, lieutenant colonels, colonels, you know those folks better than I do, but they're starting to look for a path to pin on a star. And so it's a little bit harder for them. There's a little bit more pressure to enforce what they perceive as a legal enforceable mandate on service members. This is turning out in a lot of ways. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago about the anthrax vaccine cases where it came down to an issue of trust in the military. And in that particular case, the courts ruled the other way because the FDA had not given final clearance to the anthrax vaccine. So the question in all of these cases is going to be, what was the process and procedure used at the FDA to validate and give final approval to the vaccine? Until then, until there's a court ruling, I think, that says the FDA committed a shortcut or otherwise biased its findings in favor of the new administration or in favor of a mandate, I think you're going to continue to see more senior level leaders in the military pushing down this vaccine mandate and applying these restrictions very conservatively. And I don't mean that in a political sense. I mean, they're not likely to approve many of these requests for exemptions.
Well, let me ask about that because, you know, I've seen some documents that indicate that the Navy was literally issuing policies saying deny, 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 as opposed to, you know, the law typically says you have to liberally construe those in favor of the requesting employee or, in this case, a service member. Yeah. And I recognize, and you know, you and I have both served, you're still serving now. I recognize that we give away some of our freedoms and we also fall into the Uniform Code of Military Justice when we're on duty. But all said and done, I would think, though, that the law would still apply as to liberally construing something like this in favor of the employee. Would that apply to the military?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, we're not just talking about statutes here. We're talking about the Constitution, the First Amendment, right. Religious liberty. And so the courts are supposed to give very strict scrutiny to any federal law or federal mandate. You know, in the military, that scrutiny is relaxed a little bit, but soldiers are still entitled to religious rights. They don't give that up when they sign on the line and join in service of the country. In fact, you know, we have, you know well, Phil, we have chaplains for just about every denomination and major religion you can think of. The military has chaplains. So there's a long history in the military of respecting religious liberty and in fact, encouraging and promoting religious exercise. So I think in order to be successful, you're going to have a claim that has that's very well-grounded, and I haven't seen a lot of these claims. I'm sure, and you probably would acknowledge that there's probably a lot of claims out there that are not real, that are not made for real religious purposes. But when there is a claim, and it shouldn't be that hard to make one for religious purpose. I mean, there are all kinds of many denominations in the Christian religion, other religions that simply don't accept doing these kinds of things, vaccines and other medical procedures under their faith. And so, it's going to take one of these cases that's based, I think, on a genuine, authentic religious claim for religious exemption, and then I think you will see that being litigated.
Let me ask you this, because one of the things that concerns me, and I don't know if you can speak to this directly or not, but one of the things that does concern me too, and you sort of touched on it a moment ago, is you've got senior ranking officers who are, and NCOs for that matter, who are working their way towards the next rank, trying to progress their career, and they don't want to be seen as that commander who had low numbers, if you know what I mean. And yeah. Part of my concern is going to be, I mean, I can remember back in the day when it used to be you had to join the Officers Association, wink, wink, nod, nod. You don't really have to, but if you don't do it, it's going to be bad for you. And right. And what I hope is not happening is that there are literally commanders who want to have the highest level of vaccination rates on their record as opposed to being the one with the lowest level, and they recognize that it could be an OER, an officer evaluation report, negative, you know, bullet if they don't have a good turnout on the vax rate. So what are you thinking in that regard? That's going to be a claim, I believe.
You can bet if somebody can find evidence of an email or memorandum where a commander is talking about rates of vaccination and bragging about that, that will be used in one of these cases, and that would be very bad legally, not only legally, but very bad PR for that commander, for the Army as a whole, for the armed forces, for the Department of Defense. And I think, too, this underscores or this is highlighted by kind of what's going on in Oklahoma. You and I talked a little bit about that the other day. Yeah. The governor of Oklahoma, Republican governor, fired apparently the adjutant general who was very pro-vaccine and believed that he had to enforce the Department of Defense mandate. And the governor installed the assistant adjutant general as the adjutant general, who is now saying that he will not impose the Department of Defense's mandate on Oklahoma National Guard members. That's caused quite a stir. The Pentagon spoke to that on Monday and said they believe that that the Secretary of Defense has authority to mandate even vaccines by National Guard soldiers who usually fall under the command of the governor. So this is playing out everywhere, and we don't really know at this point which way it's going to go.
Well, and I agree. And I think this Oklahoma thing is the first real test of the guard versus active component on this vaccine mandate, I mean, that I've heard about. I mean, I'm sure there have been individual soldiers that we're going to see through what I'm calling unnatural attrition are going to be let go because they didn't get the vaccine. But to have the adjutant general of a state National Guard who said that 10% of his force right now, I'm looking at an article from Military Times, he says that 10% of his Army and Air Guard have expressed they don't want to be inoculated. And he said, why would I willingly risk losing 10% of my force over something that is already proven to be controversial and is, you know, in court right now for clarification? And I don't disagree. I mean, I think on the one hand, he's pushing back against what could be considered a lawful order, but I think he's also defending the interests of his state and defending the interests of his troops. And I appreciate that level of leadership to some degree.
Well, it's a really, you know, nobody, if you read these articles, the journalists don't really understand, and even in the military, we don't understand how the National Guard actually works legally, how it's set up. So that's a particularly interesting situation, because while we think of the National Guard belonging to the state, as you know, most of the funding, the training, and the equipment comes from the federal government. So
right.
When we drill on the weekends, when we conduct training as Alabama National Guard members on the weekends, subject to the control of the governor, we're actually being paid by the federal government. And so that's what the federal government is saying. But I think they're going to have a real hard time. I don't know if they're going to have a hard time, but they're going to have a challenge to show that there's some sort of nexus before they mandate vaccinating a National Guardsman, that there's some sort of immediate nexus. For example, if the unit were scheduled to be deploying to Kuwait or somewhere else, and they were scheduled to be activated into federal service under Title 10, as we say, then I can see more of a connection where a court might say, yes, this is not just arbitrary. This soldier is actually getting ready to deploy on federal active duty orders. So therefore, the Secretary of Defense has the authority to order a vaccine in this particular case.
Yeah.
But service members, National Guard members who are just serving in under the control of the governor and just training, it's hard to say why what the basis would be for subverting the governor's decision.
Well, I agree. And hey Brian, listen, man, I got I'm up against a break. Can you hang on through the break? I want to ask you a few questions about penalties that could
sure.
be coming down for those who don't get the vaccination. All right, we're on with Brian Taylor, my friend, who is a legal guru, a politician, someone who has served two governors, but he's also a senior level JAG officer in the Alabama Army National Guard. Back with him more on vaccine mandates for the military. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now, my friend Brian Taylor. Brian being someone who I've served with in the State House. He's served two governors also as a senior advisor. He's also a JAG officer at field grade rank in the Alabama National Guard. So Brian, listen, man, we got a few minutes left. I mean, just a few, but let me ask you this, and I'm gonna hit a few points and then ask you just to speak to them. Number one, what are you hearing with regards to whether or not it will be honorable or dishonorable or less than honorable discharges for people that choose not to get vaccines? Another one is, are there any changes in the deadline dates for vaccine mandates for military personnel? And the last one, I want to talk about readiness. What is this doing to readiness, especially to our National Guard? Go, man. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I'm not sure I have good answers for the first two questions. The deadline, I've not seen any. You may be more attuned to that than I am, Phil. But in terms of what was the first one?
The first one was, are there going to be dishonorable discharges, or will it be, you know, something that's, you know, less than honorable, or will it be a an honorable
you
discharge?
You know, I think you're likely to see administrative separations, which means non-criminal, and you can't get a dishonorable discharge for that. So you're likely to see, in my opinion, you're likely to see honorable charges or general, what we call general charges under honorable conditions, general discharges under honorable conditions. But I don't think you're going to see a dishonorable discharge, because that requires a military court-martial. And I don't think that's the way that the Department of Defense anticipates separating any of these troops.
And on the question of readiness, so, I mean, I'm looking at the Oklahoma National Guard. The Adjutant General in Oklahoma says he's looking at losing 10% of his force. I recognize that the DOD, by and large, is hitting high marks in terms of 80-85% vaccination rate, but there's still a readiness issue and even a morale issue. And I wonder, are you hearing that being addressed at all?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was just actually talking to some colleagues yesterday who said that this is going to come down, maybe instead of a legal issue, to a readiness issue. And then you've got two opposing concerns there, right? You know, from the Department of Defense side, they view being vaccinated as a readiness issue. You can't deploy to go around the world unless you're vaccinated. That's the way they see it. The Oklahoma National Guard says we can't be prepared to respond to tornadoes and other natural disasters and fulfill our state mission if we lose 10% of our force. So you've actually got two competing readiness concerns that are going to have to be addressed. And, you know, I'm hoping that cooler heads will prevail, and this will be done outside the courtroom. That senior leaders in the Department of Defense will be able to get with the National Guard Bureau and come up with some solution that will allow the National Guard to move forward without mandating the vaccine, unless, you know, like I said earlier, unless a unit's getting ready to be deployed and they know that. I don't see that happening right now, but with more and more cases coming online, you may see that sort of middle ground approach prevail.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch, brother. But, man, we're out of time, but I appreciate you as always, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon. And if you see any changes in DOD/active military or National Guard, you know, regarding the vaccine, you let me know, all right?
I will. Thanks for having me on again, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Folks, that was Brian Taylor, former state senator, JAG officer, duty in Iraq, an advisor to Governor Ivey and Governor Riley, and a personal friend. And so glad to have him on the show. Listen, when we get back, I'm going to keep going on this military stuff. There's more in the news right now regarding military and first responders on vaccine mandates. And so I'm going to hit that for a while. And then if we have time, because it's a full day, we're going to go into foreign policy, because foreign policy for the U.S. right now is a debacle, and I'll talk about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.